Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 1, we were talking about the greatness of the glory of the messenger in Revelation, and just how great the glory of Jesus will be. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says this. And the apostle's talking here, by the way, of being before another man, a messenger. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, we don't know who this mighty one was, but we do know that evidently he was somebody that had lived on this earth, had been saved, and because he had the testimony of Jesus. And his glory is so great because he's been given this great glory by the Lord Jesus Christ that glory is such that John falls down to worship him. Now, what must that glory be like that he's going to clothe us with, that it would cause a mortal man to fall on their face and worship? And if that's the glory of someone who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lord when they're in heaven, just think of the great glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we start to see Jesus in his position as judge. And it's interesting here because the word throne will appear 45 times here in the book of Revelation. The word throne appears only 15 times in the rest of the New Testament. And he is herein glorified as the Lamb of God. The word Lamb occurs 28 times. And you see, when we think of the Lamb of God, we're thinking of the crucifixion. You see, my friend, the cross, because of its love, will still be precious to us. It'll be a precious memory in heaven. The one thing that we'll see in heaven that was made on earth will be the scars in the hands and in the side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, don't miss seeing the character of his person in holiness and in purity as he judges and he executes his wrath. The best understanding of prophecy starts first with the understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. Do not view him only from his humanity, as we saw him 2,000 years ago before his resurrection. And when you see him in his humanity here, you'll be seeing him in his glorified humanity. And I think that the bottom line that we can say here is, don't worship predictive prophecy. Rather, worship the person of this book. Don't be occupied with his coming. Occupy till he come. I find it interesting that they sing a chorus today, Worship His Majesty. Beautiful, beautiful tune. And I like the tune, and the music is beautiful. But we don't worship his majesty. That's like saying worship his tree, worship his stars, worship his moon, worship his waters. You see, we don't worship those things when we worship him. Now, you may worship him for his majesty, but just to say to worship his majesty is not really quite right. And it goes back to those people who are always telling us, everything's God. I'm God, you're God, and all other things are God, and well, no, there's only one God, and he made everything, and without him was not anything made that was made. So now in our text here in verse 1, he says, things which must shortly come to pass. The word translated shortly literally has the sense of in swiftness. And the thought is not so much of when the events prophesied will take place, rather as to how, when the rapture and the ensuing events following the rapture in the day of the Lord will come to pass. It will be in swiftness. I believe that there will be a little bit of time between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, but I don't believe it'll be a real long time, to be honest with you. I believe it'll be very short, and I think shortly fits in here with that. The importance of this is seen in sending his angel to show the man, John, this revelation. Now, in most New Testament books, we're not told of how the book is inspired. So why are we told here in this verse how he got these words that he's writing? I believe that it is an indication, by making a notation of these things which must shortly come to pass, that he is showing us that this is the last book of the New Testament. This is the last book of the Bible. We do not have new revelation from God today, but we do have illumination. Now, revelation is something new. It's something that was not known before by man. Maybe you could even say never before existing knowledge. Illumination is giving me understanding and perhaps first-time understanding of something that has been there. It's just that I'm only now understanding it by His Holy Spirit. When you hear somebody say, oh, the Lord gave me a revelation. Well, if it doesn't coincide with the Bible, that's false. If it does coincide with the Bible, then it's not a revelation, it's illumination, because it was already in the Bible. And so that's something that you need to understand. And watch out for these people that are always trying to give you new revelation and new scripture. The canon was closed with the book of Revelation. Now, in verse 2, it says that he bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So he's saying by way of introduction that he is only bearing record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And that takes us up to the next point. And the next point is imputation. We see that in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now we have a promised blessing here for reading, hearing, and keeping, or the word keeping has the idea of obeying what you hear. In Bible days, they did not have a lot of Bibles like we have here in the United States, where one home may have three or four or more Bibles in it. No, they didn't have any Bibles mainly in their homes. Bibles would have been only in the church place, only in the place of worship. They were not produced like they're produced today. And then they would read scriptures in those meetings. That's why we read this in 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And when he says there to give attendance, he means you pay extra close attention. Now, what does he mean by all this? Well, it tells us that the scriptures would be read in the church house. They'd have a time where they just read the Word of God. And we know that through historical articles that the forefathers wrote back in that day, giving you even a list of how the church services went, an itinerary of the services. That means it's very important then that a reader read the word rightly. Now, you'll remember in Nehemiah chapter 8, they had a water gate, a lot different than the water gate that we had in the United States back in the 1970s. This is a water gate that was the kind of a water gate every country should have. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, 3, 6, and 8, we read this. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. In other words, they just didn't read the scriptures as fast as they could. They didn't try to just go through it like a motorboat or a machine gun. They read the Bible carefully before the people and read it with the distinction, with the idea of the sense and all that to convey the meaning of the word. And the people, we find out, would raise their hand. They lifted up their hands. Now, by the way, I have people ask me today, is it wrong to lift up your hands in church when you hear the preaching and all that, and some people in their churches will lift up their hands? And the answer to that is no. It's not wrong. It's nothing wrong with that at all. However, you need to understand what it means. Now, some people do it without understanding what it means. So understand what it means. The raising of the hand is just like in a court of law. In a court of law, witness is called to the stand, and he's asked to place a hand on the Bible, and then he's to raise his right hand. And when he raises his right hand, he is taking an oath to stand by everything that is said. He's going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And so that's the idea, and that's not just something in America. That's been down through the ages. Of the raising the hand was the making of a vow. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.